You have to agree with me that the Holy Spirit from the Trinity, He's the one who get a bum rap from many people. Because of the lack of knowledge of the believers or the ignorance of the unbelievers alike, many Bible teachers and pastors rather depends on their denominational doctrine and guideline than seeking the Word to see who the Holy Spirit is. We hear and see many weird unbiblical action and doctrines that comes from the charismatic side. And as well as some people from the main denominational side, they discard some of the gift of the Holy Spirit as if it's no longer available. Neither way is correct. I believe that it is the low desire for us to understand what He does, and what we should know about Him. And you may say it's a job description, or you may say ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's something we should know and let the Jesus speak to our heart. By reading chapter 13 through 16 of the book of John, it's easy for us to see the disciples, they are having a growing anticipation in their heart and a panic in their heart as well. Why? Because in chapter 13, Jesus told them, you cannot go where I go. In chapter 15, He told them that He warned the upcoming persecution. That would be a very uncomfortable feeling. And disciples suddenly feel insecure. All this time, nobody did anything to them physically because Jesus was with them. Knowing this fully, Jesus explained in detail exactly what the next person in the Trinity, the Helper, another Helper, will do for them. It is important to note that the Spirit came to the church, not to the world. Not to the world. It means that He works in and through the church. If you're not familiar with the term, church is not particularly this church. It's church, a body of Jesus Christ. All the born-again believers of Jesus Christ, that is known as a church or the body of Jesus Christ. It means that Holy Spirit works in and through the church, and He ministers through the people of God as the Lord Jesus had a human body. He used a human body to minister to human. This time, Holy Spirit used the body of Jesus Christ to minister to the rest of the human race. And it is not because the Holy Spirit cannot accomplish things what He needs to do without the human. He chooses to include us. In my opinion, that is a pure mercy. God, all-capable God, chooses to include us in His master plan. I'm sure that you have heard someone praying this way. Lord, send us Your Spirit that He may go from one person to another person and minister to them. Theologically, that is incorrect. Holy Spirit does not hover over, the float around in the air, go from one person's mind to another person's mind to the lost peoples, going from one person to the next person. He uses us, the believers. We are His tools. We are His outreach program. You with me on that? We are His mouthpiece. We are His hand. We are His feet to spread the goodness of Jesus Christ around the world. What you do at work, at home, or over the fence with your next door neighbor, witnessing your unbelieving family members, or counseling to this downcast neighbor, or giving wisdom to God's wisdom to your coworker who is frantically looking for the meaning of life. That's how God used you to to spread his good news to the world. So let's be ready to receive the instruction that comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, during this holiday season, everybody runs around like a chicken head cut off, busy buying this, buying that, and they forget the true meaning of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true reason for the season, and his birth, death, and resurrection is the reason for the Christmas. We don't celebrate because this is a gift exchanging season. We celebrate because it is the birth of our Savior. Father, as you speak to our heart regarding the job description of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of His, we're asking to engrave in our heart that we may understand the third persons of the Trinity, whom we often get confused, whom we do not know very well. Father, teach us. We're asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, because his sins are many. Father, we pray for the President Obama that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And we also pray for our troops, the last troops being pulled out from the Iraq. ₱13,000 soldiers being injured and 45 soldiers being killed. Father, we are asking you to use us to minister to those families. We also pray that you protect law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4, chapter 16. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. That these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Over the 3 years, Jesus Christ nurtured his disciples. But now he's leaving, and they are so distraught, and they are speechless and filled with sorrow. Remember, I don't know if you had that moment. I did. Probably like many other kids. There were times when I was a kid, I thought my mom's going to dump me somewhere and desert me, and then so I can raise as an orphan. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe that's what they're going through. And whether we like to admit or not, we have to realize that we can do nothing without Jesus Christ. Remember the verse? Away from me, what did he say? We are nothing. Our insecurity can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. Our insecurity can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The word advantage in Greek is a symphero. It means that it is profitable for us to have Jesus go away. Even though it doesn't sound right, it is true. Let me explain to you. There are two reasons. Number one, Jesus was limited in human body. But the Holy Spirit is not. The divinity of Jesus Christ was contained within the humanity of physical body. He could not be everywhere at the same time. But the Holy Spirit could, because he's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God. There's nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus had to limit himself within the human body. The Spirit of God can strengthen each of the believers at the same time because he would work from within. In the innermost recess of our heart, where there is panic, he brings peace. Where there is a fear, he brings fortitude. Second reason why I see that it is good that Jesus left us and the Holy Spirit came, only through his departure from this world he could provide us the way of salvation. Without his death on the cross as our atoning sacrifice, there would have been no gospel. We would not have four gospels. And atonement for sin was absolutely necessary for Jesus to save people from their sins. Otherwise, we would be stuck in our own sin and without a hope of forgiveness and heaven. Now, let's read from verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, now he expounds what he just said. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. And of the righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Notice that there are three aspects of the job description of the Holy Spirit mentioned here for the unbelievers. Number one, convicting the world of sin. Convicting world of the sin. There is a Chinese proverb, you may heard or you may not heard. It says, at the end of the day, whip your child. Your child may not know, you may not know why you're whipping the child, but child knows exactly why he's being whipped. That is a conviction. Word convict is a legal word. Its Greek word is alekho, and it means to bring to light, to expose, to reprove. And it also can be translated pronounce the verdict. You with me on that? The world had declared their open season against Christianity like no other religion. And because it's under complete control of Satan. See, if you have any doubt, just watch the news and watch news on the TV and read the newspaper. They go against Christianity, like as I said, like no other religion. But at the same time, they somehow on a television program, whether it's a series or sitcom or whatever, they try to submerge the respect for the Muslim religion, Islam. What's up with that? Why are they denying the Christianity? Because Christianity reveals their sins. They mock Christianity like no other religion, yet they do not know that it is the Christian who is passing the judgment of God to the world as the witness of Jesus Christ. So believers are the witnesses, and the Holy Spirit is the prosecuting attorney, and the world, the unbelievers, unsaved ones, the guilty prisoners, and God the Father is the ultimate judge, and there is no defense attorney and no appeals court. However, the purpose of this indictment is not to condemn, but to bring salvation to them. So what are the unsaved ones being convicted from? Jesus does not leave any room for anyone to come up with any silly excuse. Go back to verse 9, please. Of sin, there is. Of sin, because you do not what? Believe me. Unbelief of Jesus Christ. That is the sin. Convicting us of our sin, not necessarily sin in general, which is already bad enough, but to show us that we are unpardonable sinners without Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes the message of death and resurrection of Jesus and shows us that it is true and shows us that we need to turn to God. Without convicting power of the Holy Spirit, we would not have come to Jesus Christ. That's why whenever I come to church on Sunday morning, I pray to the Lord, if there is anyone who come to our church who do not believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they may come to know Him today. And while I was giving an altar call at the end of each service, I pray in my heart that somebody come to know Jesus. It's not about adding another person to our church. It's about adding person to the kingdom of God and taking one person out from the kingdom of hell. Keep your finger there and go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, please. Acts 2, 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit does not convict us of our sins to drive us to despair. Rather, He sent us to the open arms of Jesus Christ. When Peter preached this sermon on the day of Pentecost, and we read that two verses there, it said their heart was cut. Go back there. Where is it? They were cut to their heart. It means pierced to their heart. As if Holy Spirit is stabbing their heart, their unbeliever's heart, and saying, "You need heart surgery right now." Second thing God is doing is convicting the world with the righteousness of God. Go back to verse 10, please, in chapter 16. "Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more." Unsaved person can live one's life with honesty, goodness, and gentleness, and with mercy and good behavior. You can be religious. Listen, please. You can go to church all your life. Whether you're Catholic or Protestant, I know for sure there are many Catholics who are born again. But there are many Protestants as well as many Catholics who does not know anything about Jesus Christ. They know He is God. They know He is a Savior. But never came to them that I need Jesus in my heart. If I don't have Jesus in my heart, I will not go to heaven. They don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Even if that person is a perfectly good human being, that person still will end up in hell and damned for eternal life. That's the key point. If Jesus never came into your heart as your Savior and Lord, that person will never see the hope of forgiveness and will never see heaven. Go to Isaiah 64:6, please. Again, keep your finger in John. Isaiah 64:6. And you may think that, well, I'm a good person. I'm really a good person. I'm sure you're a good person. But let's see what God says about our good behavior, our righteousness. Verse 6. "All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags." I'm thinking about poopy diaper. Because I've seen this one too many times. "All we shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins swept us away." See that? Our righteousness is a filthy rag according to the Bible, the absolute truth that you cannot argue with. We don't have a snowball's chance in front of God's righteousness without Jesus. But who we are, the believers of Jesus Christ, now we have a righteousness of Jesus Christ. He input His righteousness in our account. It's a banking term. Since the world cannot see the righteousness of Jesus, they only see what they see in us. Just as the moon reflects the brightness of the unseen sun, S-U-N, in the darkness of night, when nothing eclipses in our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, S-O-N, we will reflect the true light to the world that is submerged in the darkness. You follow me on that? The unbelievers will not see the righteousness of God, but they will see that His righteousness that reflects in our lives. That is why it is so important to have a witnessing with your life, not just your word. Third point I'd like to bring you to is back in verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. It's easy to think that future judgment is coming. Don't we say that? Majority of Christians, including myself, I catch myself, the judgment of God is coming. Theologically, if I may nitpick, it's incorrect. Judgment has been already done, made. The execution of judgment is coming. You with me on that? The judgment against Satan has been already made. Go to the Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. That would be the first book in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 14. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and all the days of your life. And I will put the enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There is a judgment made by God for the Satan. So the Satan stands condemned. Anyone who chooses to not to accept Jesus into his heart as a Savior and Lord also stand condemned by one's own choice. People say, well, loving God will not send me to hell. You are absolutely correct. God will not send you to hell, but your own choice, by not choosing God, you will send yourself to hell. Here's an extremely important point we must realize. There can be no conversion to Christianity. You might want to add there, no conversion to the Christianity without conviction. And there can be no conviction apart from the Spirit of God using the Word of God and the witness of the believer of God. It is important. The witnessing is a great privilege, folks. At the same time, it's a serious, serious responsibility. It's a matter of life and death, as I often say. How we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us to the right person and give us right word and enable us to patiently to glorify Jesus Christ. One of my friends, a dear friend, is in New Guinea, I believe. Now he's on the way back. He finished his short-term missionary trip, and he's coming back. And I sent a text to him. I thought he would be here already, so I sent a welcome home. And he said, I'm stuck in the airport in whatever the fancy French name I could not pronounce, starting with a P-O or something like that. And he said, I'm stuck here. And I don't think I'm going to arrive until Sunday evening. So I told him, use that time, wait upon the Lord. Who knows, He might bring a just person who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Don't just blow your time away. I didn't say that long, I just made a quick text. You know what I'm talking about. So when you are stuck in some place, don't say, I'm stuck, I'm mad. Don't get all upset about it. Ask God, now, you keep me here. What do you want me to do with this time? Look for somebody whom you can talk to, witness to. Now, go to verse 12 in chapter 16, please. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now the Holy Spirit, Jesus is teaching them about the Holy Spirit's ministry to the believers. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I say that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Just as Jesus taught the disciples according to God the Father's teaching plan, Holy Spirit is following the plan that made by God the Father and Jesus, and through the Word of God. There are two theological words you should know. One is inspiration. The other one is illumination. Inspiration is what happened when a selected group of men, from Moses to the Apostle John, the writers of the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, to the last book, the book of Revelation, that 40 authors, when they were selected, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God enabled them to write the word down exactly the way He wants. That's been done. Inspiration is been over. And Scripture is complete. There's nothing more to add, nothing else to take out. If somebody ever tell you, say, well, it's not in the Bible, but in this book, like a Book of Mormons, they say that, well, Bible is good, but there is another inspiration that God gave to our forefather Joseph. Yeah, there is a Hebrew word for that, baloney. Don't buy that kind of garbage. But the illumination is still going today. When you read the Word of God and listen to the pastor's sermons or the Bible teacher's teaching, and then you get to have one of those, aha, one of those moments. Have you had that before? That is the illumination. God is just lighting up and open your heart to understand His wisdom, understand the truth in your heart. That happens often. I like the way that Martin Luther said, the Bible will forever remain a closed book unless God opens and explains to us the Scripture. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit always glorified the Son of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And He neither diminished the glory as God's Son's glory nor steal the spotlight for Himself. Some silly theologians said, well, you know, gospel is good. But somehow, Apostle Paul extended this simple gospel message to the technical and theologically deep doctrine for no reason. Nonsense. That's absolutely nonsense. The same Holy Spirit who used Moses to write down the five books, Pentateuch, from the beginning of the Old Testament, the same Holy Spirit spoke to Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And He also spoke to apostles all the way to the end of the book. And we find the history and doctrines of the book of Acts as well. Thus, we Calvary Chapel, here in Calvary Chapel of Sarita, as well as other Calvary Chapels, I'm sure there are many Bible teaching many Bible teaching churches will agree with me on this. We do what the Lord Jesus said in the four Gospels and what the apostles teaches in their epistles of the New Testament. Just in case you don't know the meaning of epistles, it's not the wife of an apostle, okay? It's an open letter. It means open letter by the apostles. By the way, that answer was given by one of the seminary students. Gah! That's the reason why we completely ignore apocryphal books and the lost books. By the way, why would you be interested in apocryphal books? The definition of apocryphal, it means false. So you read this false book. Really, why don't you just read some comic book? At least you can laugh at it. There is a reason why God chose not to include some of the lost books. And that's the reason why God chose not to include the apocryphal books in the canonization of the Bible. Please be careful when somebody tells you you got to read apocryphal books or the lost books of the Bible. Don't go there. Okay? Don't go there. Like the Gospel of Thomas or Gospel of Judas. Don't read that book. And somebody said, well, I got to try that book. I got to read that book. If you have that much time, read the real book. Okay? Read the real book. Don't waste your time. Redeem your time. The Holy Spirit works in us, walks through us, just like our church motto. Well, I got it from him. Knowing Jesus and making him known. Three applications. Number one, important point to remember. Number one, our insecurity can be cured with a total dependence in Christ Jesus. Second point, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of us our sins to drive us to despair, but to send us into the open arms of Jesus. Agree? Thirdly, there can be no conversion to Christianity without conviction. And there can be no conviction apart from the Spirit of God using God's word and witnesses of the believers of God. So, make yourself available to be included in the master plan of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us for the job description of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let our light, our righteousness be removed, but let your righteousness reflect in our lives that people may see Jesus and glorify his wonderful name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.